On this Saturday night, running mates Hillary Clinton and Tim Kaine make their first appearance together, painting a sharp contrast with Donald Trump, who wasted no time launching a counterattack. Out of control, a fast-growing wildfire burning thousands of acres and forcing hundreds from their homes in California. Tonight, we're on the front lines. Deadly mall attack, disturbing new information about a German teenager's attack. Police say he lured his young victims to a McDonald's to shoot them. Filling the gap, police departments across this country struggling to hire enough officers at a time when many feel under siege. And rising tide saving an island where wild horses roam as rising waters threaten a national treasure. Nightly News begins now.
From NBC News World Headquarters in New York, this is NBC Nightly News with Kate Snow.
Good evening, and it was a big day for the Clinton campaign. The public introduction of the new Clinton-Kaine ticket. In Miami this afternoon, newly anointed vice presidential nominee Senator Tim Kaine delivered an enthusiastic speech, part attack on Donald Trump, part autobiography, a crowd pleaser with a lot of lines delivered in fluent Spanish. But before the event had even begun, Donald Trump was already criticizing Clinton's pick, calling Kaine a job killer for his views on trade deals. And there's some dissent in the Democratic ranks tonight as well, as some former Sanders supporters worry they've been shut out. Kristen Welker has it all covered for us from Miami.
Hillary Clinton and Tim Kaine making their debut as the Democratic ticket in Battleground, Florida.
He is qualified to step into this job and lead on day one.
I'm grateful to you, Hillary, for the trust that you've placed in me.
Clinton hoping Kaine, a Virginia senator and former governor, will strike a contrast with her unconventional Republican rival.
Senator Tim Kaine is everything Donald Trump and Mike Pence are not.
Kaine driving the message home, breaking out into fluent Spanish just moments after taking the podium.
Bienvenidos a todos en nuestro país, ¿verdad? Porque somos americanos todos.
A quality that could help solidify Clinton's lead among Latinos. Kaine also proving he has what it takes to be the attack dog.
Do you want a trash-talking president or a bridge-building president?
Trump lashing out on Twitter. The Bernie Sanders supporters are furious with the choice of Tim Kaine, who represents the opposite of what Bernie stands for. That dig, a reference to some Democrats who argue Kaine isn't a true progressive.
Tim also has a backbone of steel. Just ask the NRA.
So here's how Hillary and I are going to continue that work with a strong progressive agenda.
But today, another potential hurdle. A trove of emails hacked from the Democratic National Committee and posted on WikiLeaks last night has created fresh scrutiny about whether the DNC was pushing for Clinton, including this one dated May 5th, in which one party official seems to raise questions about Sanders' faith, writing to the DNC communications director, "Does he believe in a God? I think I read he is an atheist." Sanders supporters speaking out tonight.
I'm outraged. As a Democrat, I am outraged because the DNC is supposed to be a neutral arbiter.
No immediate reaction from the DNC tonight. A Clinton campaign official tells me, quote, "We are proud of the campaign that we ran. The Clinton team is looking for some new momentum heading into next week's convention, and they're hoping today's big rollout will kick that off." Kate.
Kristen Welker in Miami, thanks. For more on Clinton's vice presidential pick, we're joined now by NBC's Andrea Mitchell, who was also in the room. Andrea, Tim Kaine spoke for a long time. What was the chemistry there, and how will this energize voters, this ticket?
The Clinton campaign could not be happier. I've covered Hillary Clinton for many, many years. She is about as happy as I've seen her since this campaign began. She thinks she made the right choice. The chemistry was great. He was speaking in Spanish on a campus that is 60% Hispanic. And the fact that he hit every button was both attack dog and also validator of Hillary Clinton, that he spoke so much about her, that she spoke so much about him, and it was so different than the rollout of the Mike Pence vice presidential ticket just a week ago, with Donald Trump walking off stage and not talking about Mike Pence, but talking about himself. They think that this was really a home run.
And let me ask about Bernie Sanders. He speaks at the convention on Monday. In light of the emails that Kristen Welker just reported on, what do you think that means for Bernie Sanders? What does it mean for party unity?
Kate, I think it's going to make it a lot tougher. There's obviously a lot of irritation, and this has not been a natural partnership with Bernie Sanders. He can also feel that he was dissed by the campaign, and choosing Tim Kaine, who does not have positions that Bernie Sanders agrees with, this will only serve to dampen his enthusiasm. The only thing that can motivate him is a shared loathing for Donald Trump.
A big week ahead. Andrea Mitchell on top of all of it. Andrea, thanks so much.
And Bernie Sanders and Donald Trump will be among Chuck Todd's guests tomorrow morning on Meet the Press. As the Democrats converge on Philadelphia, the country's fifth largest city is on high alert 2 days before the start of the Democratic National Convention. Gabe Gutierrez is there.
In the city of brotherly love, the stakes are high.
The Declaration of Independence was signed, so a lot of history in this town. So we want to make sure we maintain that history and keep it safe.
With 400 miles of coastline to patrol, including one of the nation's busiest ports, the Coast Guard in Philadelphia is bracing for the Democratic National Convention, bringing in reinforcements. 21 vessels and more than 400 personnel will monitor secure areas near the Wells Fargo Arena. We got a firsthand look.
We got to prepare for any type of scenario that might affect an event such as this.
Recent terrorist attacks around the world and police shootings in the U.S. have authorities here on high alert. Today, barricades went up around the arena. And there's already a heavy police presence downtown near the convention center. More than 10,000 demonstrators are expected in a city trying to avoid a repeat of the Republican National Convention here 16 years ago, when hundreds of protesters were arrested during clashes with police.
I think there's a lot of people that are upset with Bernie Sanders for endorsing Hillary.
Among this year's activists is Drew Galipter, a former Bernie Sanders campaign volunteer who's now part of a group organizing protests during the convention.
I think it's different than any other before because we are at a very unique political moment.
A moment he and the city hope will be peaceful. Some differences between this past week's Republican convention and the Democratic one? Philadelphia's police force is 4 times larger than Cleveland's, and it already has last year's papal visit under its belt. Valuable experience in tight security. Kate?
Gabe Gutierrez in Philadelphia tonight. Gabe, thank you. On the West Coast tonight, firefighters are battling an intense wildfire north of Los Angeles. It doubled in size today, forcing hundreds from their homes and spreading smoke and ash throughout the region. Gotti Schwartz is there.
Overnight, an inferno burning above Los Angeles. The glowing ridges seen up to 50 miles away.
Do you see that big fire going on?
As helicopter crews flew dangerous missions around the clock, working to cool the flames. Throughout the evening, evacuations in a canyon area known for its horse ranches. While in communities all around Los Angeles, smoke and ash raining down for miles in every direction, even blanketing the beach community of Malibu. The fire started along a freeway in the blistering heat, causing traffic delays, flames almost engulfing this commuter train. Then racing along ridges, flames stoked by a triple-digit heat wave that has baked this region.
The fire weather and the typical temperatures this year, this summer, are projected to be higher than normal. So it's important that all of our citizens recognize that.
1,000 homes threatened. Hundreds have been ordered to pack up and head for safety.
It's a little scary, nerve-wracking.
One wind shift and this whole place will be gone in half an hour.
Including an exotic wildlife refuge surrounded on two sides by fire. Now volunteers are working to evacuate all kinds of animals.
Tigers, lions, mountain lions.
A wildfire expanding out of control and fueled by this weekend's unstoppable heat.
And temperatures out here are reaching 106 degrees, which means that every time the fire starts kicking up like you see behind us and throwing up embers, it is extremely likely that that spreads and starts other fires. Officials saying with the heat index as well as the air quality issues, people are being encouraged to stay indoors. Kate?
All right, Gotti Schwartz, thank you. And as many people know, California is not alone in facing intense summer weather. That so-called heat dome is still blanketing much of the country with high temperatures and humidity. Nearly 110 million people are under heat advisories or warnings. Tomorrow's temperatures are forecast to reach triple digits in some places. Officials say several people have died from apparent heat-related incidents. Many cities are opening cooling centers and keeping pools open late. From Germany tonight, Tonight, new details about the teenage gunman who shot and killed 9 people in Munich. Authorities say it appears that he did not have ties to any terrorist group. As Ron Mott reports, they point instead to a young man with a troubled past.
German police say the heavily armed teenage gunman was carrying more than 300 rounds and fired from a 9mm handgun in what they described as a, quote, classic shooting rampage with no apparent ties to terrorism. When it was over, 9 people were dead, all but 2 just teenagers themselves, scores more injured in a chaotic scene caught on cell phone video. Today, mourners left flowers and notes and questioned why.
It was just panic everywhere. I was a little freaked out myself because at first I didn't know what actually was happening.
I saw a bloodbath, said one witness. Authorities say the attack began shortly before 6 p.m. at a McDonald's, where officials suspect the 18-year-old lured some of his victims with an offer of free food posted on a hacked Facebook account. After opening fire at the restaurant, police say the shooter headed across the street to Munich's largest shopping center and continued his assault. Police say the gunman shot himself in the head when they spotted him more than 2 hours later. People who knew him say the shooter seemed to be a loner.
When I saw him, he's always by himself. And I can't tell you guys he have friends or not, because I never seen with friends.
This trauma center, on lockdown during the ordeal, was calmer today.
We received one very seriously injured victim who has many gunshot injuries to the head, and 2 other minor injured.
Did the serious patient make it through the night?
Unfortunately not, no.
Tonight, police say the gunman acted alone and had been treated for depression. They also say they're trying to trace the handgun used, but its serial number had been filed off, Kate.
Ron Mott in Germany tonight. Ron, thank you. In Florida, new developments today in the police shooting that's provoked so much outrage this week. The wounding of a caregiver with his hands in the air, shot as he tried to help a man with autism. Today, that man's mother spoke out about what happened to her son. Morgan Radford has the latest.
This is the man police thought was armed and suicidal. 26-year-old Arnaldo Rios, autistic and nonverbal, seen here with a toy truck just like the one he was holding when his behavioral therapist, Charles Kinsey, pleaded for calm before being shot by Officer Jonathan Alita. Today, Rios' mother, Gladys Soto, said her son is now in a psychiatric ward after seeing his therapist shot. She says he was handcuffed and held in a squad car for 3 hours. My son is a human, not a piece of trash, she said, wiping away tears. Arnaldo's sister says he's so upset, he's refusing to take off his shirt, still stained with Kinsey's blood.
He's not sleeping, he's not eating, he's not the same anymore.
Officer Alita, who's on paid administrative leave pending an investigation by the state's attorney, said, I took this job to save lives and help people. I did what I had to do in a split second. His commanding officer is on unpaid leave for giving conflicting accounts to investigators, while the North Miami Police Department tells NBC News they plan to review the case and learn from what happened. Charles Kinsey is recovering from gunshot wounds to the legs, speaking to Miami station WSVN earlier this week.
I was really more worried about him than myself, because I'm looking out. As long as I got my hands up, they're not going to shoot me.
But they did, leaving one man wounded and another deeply traumatized. Morgan Radford, NBC News, New York.
Still to come on this Saturday night, why police departments across the country are struggling to hire new recruits despite a growing demand for more officers. And the surprising summer job for the wife of one American governor.
I'll get her water.
It's been more than 2 weeks since a sniper killed 5 police officers in Dallas, and now the police department there says the number of applicants to join the force has increased dramatically. But that's an aberration. Most police departments across the country are finding it hard to hire enough officers amid intense scrutiny and strained relations with communities. We get more tonight from Tom Costello.
It's happening nationwide. Police departments feeling underfunded, understaffed, and under attack. In just 6 years, the San Jose Police Department has gone from 1,400 officers to 855. Now, just 18 recruits are in the academy.
There's a lot of fear in law enforcement. There's a lot of fear with our officers' families as well as they come to work every day. I don't know how there could be. We hire from the human race, which is a point I think sometimes people forget, that our officers are human beings too.
The biggest issues in San Jose, disputes over pay and pensions. Departments across the country are losing officers en masse to retirements 30 years after they staffed up for the crack and crime epidemic. Now with police tactics under scrutiny, morale is sagging and fewer recruits are signing up. Baltimore lost 6% of its force following last year's riots. Detroit lost 5% last year. Kathy Lanier has been the Washington, D.C. police chief for 9 years.
It's like any profession. When there's negative publicity around a profession, your recruiting pool goes down. And we're seeing that, and we have been seeing that for some time now.
Nationwide, nearly 500,000 local officers wear a badge. The average salary, $61,270, but much lower in many cities. Just $46,000 in Baton Rouge, where three officers were killed. $52,000 in Kansas City, Kansas, where two have died this year. And $53,000 in Dallas, where five were gunned down this month. Meanwhile, the demand on officers has only increased.
There are more and more social issues that the police are being asked to deal with. And quite frankly, and we can't, all the training in the world can't prepare you to train for all of those issues.
In all, 32 officers have been killed by gunfire this year, up 68% over this time last year, with frontline cops feeling under the microscope and under siege. Tom Costello, NBC News, Washington.
Coming up, the struggle to save a national treasure from rising tides. We're taking a look tonight at one of America's most beautiful natural attractions under threat from Mother Nature itself. Now the rush is on to preserve a beloved and historic herd of animals before it's too late. Ann Thompson went to an island paradise in danger of being lost.
Every day is a day at the beach for the wild horses of Assateague Island National Seashore. They are the star attraction on Maryland's coast. Mixing so freely with sunbathers and campers, the horses joined in the Price family's campfire last summer.
It was just such an amazing, mystical experience.
Legend says the horses swam ashore 300 years ago after a Spanish galleon sank. But the truth is, it was colonists hiding them to avoid paying taxes that brought the animals here. Now their home is dramatically changing.
Do the horses come up here?
They do, yes, indeed. The horses are free roaming.
Bill Hulslander is the chief of resource management. The barrier island remade by a three-day blizzard in January.
The waters came up, the waves came over the dune, so it was pretty dramatic.
The park science communicator Kelly Taylor says the impact is far greater than just one storm.
Where was the water line 40 years ago?
If you take a look out to that white buoy.
That one there?
Yep, all the way out.
With storms, winds, and currents pushing the island westward, the U.S. Park Service is trying to figure out how to manage it for the next 50 years.
You can either try to stay in place, you can retreat, or you can try to adapt.
It is choosing adaptation. When nature reclaims asphalt parking lots, the service is building new ones inland, made of more sustainable clay and crushed clamshells. The goal, to keep the island accessible to two- and four-legged creatures. Bill Price is bringing his grandchildren now in case nature has a different plan.
It's just something they'll have memories of forever, because they may not be able to visit this.
Trying to preserve this magical mix of nature and man for generations to come. Ann Thompson, NBC News, Assateague Island, Maryland.
It is a beautiful place. Still ahead, the First Lady of Maine says it is not a political stunt or a midlife crisis. We'll hear about her new summer job. Finally tonight, in tourist communities where a business's entire year is made in just a few crucial summer months, getting the best and enough seasonal workers can be key. Our Harry Smith traveled to Booth Bay Harbor, Maine, where the season is in full swing, to meet up with an unlikely summer employee.
Booth Bay Harbor on a summer's day. Mainers and tourists alike spend their winters yearning for days like this. Days that keep places like McSeagles busy.
What can I get for you, sir?
New waitress Ann LePage looks like she's getting the hang of it.
How am I doing? It is hard work. You don't stop. And we haven't even hit the busy season yet.
Ann's daughter worked here last summer, and it got Ann to thinking.
I said, Lauren, you think I could get a job at McSeagles? And she says, Mom, go for it. So then I mentioned it to my husband, and he looked at me like I had four heads.
Did we mention Ann's husband is the outspoken and often controversial governor of Maine? So yes, the First Lady of Maine is waiting tables.
What are you going to do with all the money you make?
I want to buy a car. I want to buy a car.
Because you see, Maine's governor is the lowest paid governor in America, 70 grand a year. But Ann also insists waitressing was on her bucket list. Seriously.
I'm a people person. I love people. I'm a hard worker. So, here I am.
Ann, in fact, brings a bucket to work, the one she uses to clean the floors and the bathrooms.
So I brought in my own pail. It's a black pail, and I wrote Ann's pail on it. That's my cleaning bucket.
Ann promises this is not a political stunt. So far, no lobbyists have tried to slip her an extra big tip.
Maybe they're looking for some favors from the governor's mansion in Augusta?
Not going to happen. This is my money.
Harry Smith, NBC News, Booth Bay Harbor, Maine.
One of my colleagues here said, are you obligated to tip the First Lady? That is NBC Nightly News for this Saturday night. I'm Kate Snow reporting from New York. Lester Holt will be in Philadelphia tomorrow. For all of us here at NBC News, have a great night.